was nearly 57 to 58 years ago. After the passing of the legendary Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the Rav began out of a profound and incredible filial devotion. The institution of the Yahrzeit Shir in memory of his great father. That shir became the focal point. A calendar landmark. The Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolei Yisrael as well, who came from every direction. There was electricity in the Beis Medrash or in the auditorium, which the case was as the crowds grew very, very large. And therefore, upon the passing of the Rav, and it's hard to believe for us anyway, that next week, tonight, we will be observing the fourth Yahrzeit of the passing of Rabban Shalko Bnei Yisrael, as we understood him, Maron Reb Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Upon the initiative of Dr. Lamb, we felt it would be entirely appropriate to remember the Rav in the same way he remembered his father, and to establish an annual Yahrzeit Shir. Unfortunately, the calendar is not too hospitable to this sort of landmark, because the Rav unfortunately passed away in the middle of Pesach, the second day of Chol Moed Pesach. Among, if not the most splendid legacy the Rav left behind, was a superlative array of Rosh Yeshiva and Talmidei Chachamim, who are in the first rank of Marbitzei Torah today. And chief among them are his own progeny, his own family. And so it was decided at the very outset that the greatest tribute to be paid to the Rav, even as the Rav gave Shirim in honor of his father, to have his own children, his own progeny, his own immediate family, deliver the Shirim from year to year. This series began with our very illustrious Rosh Yeshiva, the grandson of the Rav, the Meir Twersky, in 1995. It's a very difficult year for a mayor. We had hoped when it was first approached that certainly among the Magidei Shir of this year would be his own esteemed great father, Dr. Isidore, Dr. Yitzchak Twersky, who was an unusual amalgam and blend of Rebbe and professor, and most importantly, Talmid Chacham. I have a great cover of presenting to you our Rav Meir Twersky. Thank you.
Thank you, Rav Halab. Shos, Rav Halab, Nala Yeshiva, Rav Blau, Shkiach Yeshiva, Rabbonim, Talmidim, First mission in Pesachim, Ola Avos, Bodken, Sachamitz, Lo Hanet. Rashi comments, Bodken, Shelo Yava, Olav, Bebal Yero, Ebal Yimatze. The purpose of the Bedikah is that we should not violate the Issa Bebal Yero, Ebal Yimatze. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi, Perish HaKuntu, Shelo Lav, Olav, Ebal Yero, Ebal Yimatze. The Kosha Levi came in the Tzav Bito, Kedama Vigemara, Habodik Tzav Shiavata, Umida Raisa Vibito Baal Masagi, Amaya Tricha Chachamim Bedika Kla. Tosfos says the problem of Baal Yeroy is solved through Bito Chametz. And Bito Chametz is required regardless Habodik Tzav Shiavata. So if that's the case, a bedika to protect us from Baal Yeroeh is totally redundant. So that can't be the reason or the goal of bedikas chametz. V'nei Levi, the afal gav the sagi bebitel ba'alma, hechmir chachamim livdak chametz ulevaro shel yavo le'ofla. The Levi says that bedikas chametz is got nothing to do with Baal Yeroeh, Baal Yimotzei. Bayera Bayimatzai is addressed by Bittel, and the purpose or the reason for Bedikas Chametz is to ensure, is a precautionary measure against the Issa Achila of Chametz. That since Chametz is lo B'dila Yiminei, since we're accustomed to eating Chametz year round, so Chazal took extra precautionary measures to ensure that we wouldn't be Nichshal in the Issa Achilas Chametz on Pesach. And hence, for that reason, they mandated Bedika. On the surface, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos seems to be a rather innocuous one, as it were, as to what the reason for Bedikas Chametz is. Whether Bedikas Chametz is Shelo Yavo Olav Ebal Yeroeh Ebal Yimatzei, as Rashi defines it, or whether Bedikas Chametz is Shelo Yavo La'ochlo, as Tosfos defines it. However, it emerges from several sugyas that this is not the case. And the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is really not rooted in the ta'am, in the reason for Bedikas Chametz, but rather in the very essence of the Chi of Bedik which Chazal imposed. The Gemara later in Daftes, Samed Reis, says as follows, Teisha Tziburin Shal Matzah Ve'echet Shal Chametz V'asa achba v'shakal v'lo yadinan imatzah shakal l'chametz shakal. If there are nine piles of matzah, one pile of chametz, and a weasel, some rodent comes and it takes from one of the piles, and we don't know whether it took matzah or whether it took chametz. Haynu teisha chanuyos. This would be parallel to the case of the brisa of teisha chanuyos, which the Gemara is about to quote. Piresh v'asa achba v'shakal haynu seifa. If the achbar doesn't go and take the piece out of the pile, but rather one piece gets dislodged, displaced from the pile, and is sitting equidistant from all the piles, and then the achbar takes that piece and runs into a house with it, so then that corresponds to the seifa of the same braisa. Desanya, teisha chanuyos, Kulan mochin b'sar shkuta v'achas mocheres b'sar nevel. If you imagine some kind of square, and along the perimeter of the square, so there are ten chanuyos, nine of which sell kosher meat, one of which sells treifa meat. V'lokach me'achas mehen ve'en yodeh me'ezer hen lokach. A person was not aware of the fact that one of these stores wasn't kosher. He went into one without paying attention which store he went into. He bought a piece of meat. And now the question is, did he buy kosher meat or did he buy treifa meat? V'lokach v'achas mehen v'en yodeh v'ez mehen lokach sveko osu. This is a case of kavua, since he went into the store, so this would be treated as kavua. And kavua, the Torah has exeris hakasuv, that kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami, that we don't follow the odds, we don't follow probability here. The Torah's exeris hakasuv is that we treat kavua as a safek, kemechzal mechzadami, and therefore we have to say, well, the safek is whether or not this store that he entered was selling kosher meat or treifer meat, and we have to treat it as a safek daraisa l'chumra, and the meat is also b'achila. Ubenimtza halacha acharav. If, however, he doesn't go into the store, but the piece of meat is in the middle of this square, around which there are 10 stores around the perimeter, so then that's a case of kol deparish, and kol deparish meiru b'parish. Now the question is, what exactly is the analog of this case? So Rashi says, Osa achba v'shakal v'nichnas l'bayis b'faneinu v'lo yad'inan ichamet shakal v'kevun d'chazina tzrichinon ul'divdok ul'dilma matzo shakal. So Rashi says that we're dealing with, our question is v'dikas chametz. We have a house which is b'chazkas bodok. We have a house where we already perform v'dikas chametz. Then the achba goes and it takes this unidentified piece of chametz from one of the 10 piles and it brings it into the house, and we don't know where it is. So the question is, do we have to go turn the house upside down and inside out to find this piece of maybe matzah, maybe chametz, which the achbar brought in, or not? So the safek concerns bedikas chametz. Tosfos says that can't be, because if we're dealing with bedikas chametz, so why would the Gemara say that this case parallels the case of Teisha Chanuyos? In the case of Teisha Chanuyos, our shaila is about Besar Nevela versus Besar Shkuta, or in other words, we're dealing with a shaila of a Doraisa. So if you're dealing with a potential Doraisa, and then you have the Xeris HaKosov of Kavua, so the result is that you treat it as a Sovik Doraisa, and you go L'chumra. However, if you're dealing with Bedikas Chametz, so Bedikas Chametz is only Midrabanan, why? Because bebitul midoraisa, bebitul ba'al masage, minatar bebitul is enough. And therefore bedika is only derabonon. So by bedika's chametz, even when it's the case of kavua, even when the achbar goes to the pile and takes the piece out of the pile, and we don't know whether it took a chametz dikah piece or not, at worst, if the safek which you're trying to clarify is whether or not you're chayv in bedika again, it's still, at worst, even with exeris hakasuv of kavua, it should only be a safek derabanan, and it should be lakula. So how does the Gemara say that this should be parallel to the case of Teisha Chanuyos, where the shaila concerns a daraisa, when bedikas chametz is only a derabanan? That's Tosfos' kasha on Rashi. Tosfos says, well, according to, you'd have to make an ukimta in the Gemara that he hasn't been mevatel, and maybe he's not going to be mevatel, and in absence of bittul, so then bedikas chametz would be a daraisa. But otherwise, says Tosfos, if he had been mevatel already, so then even in a case where osa achbar v'shakal, and it is a case of kavua, we should treat it as a safek derabanan lekula. What's the answer for Rashi? So the answer for Rashi is that here the true machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Beis emerges. And that is, when Rashi says that the bedika is shelo yavo ola v'bal yira v'bal yimotzei, the Ran explains as follows. The Ran amplifies what Rashi says, the Rabbeinu David as well, amplify what Rashi says as follows. Min HaTorah, there's one of two routes available to avoid bal yira v'bal yimotzei. One route is the combination of bedika and biur, and the other route is bittul. Min HaTorah, you have both of those options available to you. The Mishnah's halacha, the Ran says, what Rashi is telling us is that Chazal came along and said that even though min haTorah you have a choice between either the combination of bedika and biur on the one hand or bittul on the other hand, Chazal said we want you to opt for bedika and biur. We don't want you to rely on the option of bittul. Or in other words, according to the Ran, what Rashi here is telling us is Now, when Chazal were mechayev in Bedikas Chametz, so what Chazal said is that midrabanan, we are requiring you to undertake a bedika which will satisfy the Isser of Bal Yeroeh. In other words, midrabanan, we're saying it's as if there was no, it's as if we don't want you to rely on bittel. And Chazal were mechayev, not that they were mechayev in a bedika drabanan. Chazal were mechayev that we have to do the bedika which the Torah would require in absence of bittel. Even though in reality we have been mevatel, we will be mevatel. Nevertheless, the drabanan of all our bosa, bokinus achamis lo haner, is that Chazal require that we undertake the Da'oraisa Dika Bedika, which will protect us from Bal Yeroeh or Bal Yimotzei. Tosus, by contrast, says no. Once Chazal insisted on Bittel, so Chazal said that satisfies Bal Yeroeh or Bal Yimotzei. The Bedika which we're requiring is not the Da'oraisa Dika Bedika, which would protect you from Bal Yeroeh, Bal Yimotzei. The bedika in which we're being mechayev you is a bedika midrabanan. Or in other words, according to Rashi, the chetz shel bedika, which Chazal imposed upon us, is the bedika da'oraisa. That bedika da'oraisa, which the Torah requires in absence of bittel, so then Chazal require that in all events, even if there were bittel. The question always is, the requirement is that we have to do what the Torah would have required without bittel. Whereas according to Tosfos, that's not the case at all. Once Chazal required bittel, they said, now forget about Bal Yeroeh, Bal Yimotzeh. The fact that we are requiring bedika has got nothing to do with the Torah's bedika. It just happens to be the same word. It's a shem hamashutov. What we're requiring is a totally different bedika, and the reason for this, and not just the reason for this bedika, but the chefza shel bedika is different. It's a bedika d'rabanan shalayava la'achlo. It's got nothing to do with the Torah's bedika shalayava olav v'bayiro v'bayimotzei. L'may nafkemina, between these two approaches, so that emerges here in Daf Tes. Tosfos raise the question against Rashi, if you have a suffix about Bedikas Chometz, it should be a suffix d'rabanan l'kula. So even in the case of Kavua, still you shouldn't be chayiv in Bedikas Chometz, because suffix d'rabanan l'kula. Why? Because according to Tosfos, not only is it Chazal who were mechayiv us in Bedika, but the Bedika in which they were mechayiv us was not the Bedika d'oraisa. It was a brand new bedika. They created a new chi of yesh me'ayin of bedika shelo yavo le'ochlo. Whereas according to Rashi, what Chazal said is that we insist that you do a bedika which would protect you from Bal Yeroeh, Bal Yimotzeh, even if you have been mevatel. If that's the case, even though the chi of bedika is only a drabanan, but they were mechayev us in the bedika d'oraisa. So if that's the case, there will always be a chi of midrabanan if there would have been a chi of minato if I wasn't mevatel. So b'makom safek, how will we be machriya? We'll be machriya on a daraisa dika level. We'll say that min haTorah in such a case, without bittel, what would the halacha have been? The halacha would have been safek daraisa l'chumra, and I would be chayiv to be bodek and to be mevaeh. So therefore, midrabanan, even if I was mevatel, I'm going to be chayiv in bedika. Because the chi of bedika midrabanan was to do that bedika which the Torah would require without bittel, even though I was mevatel. So that's the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Again, whether or not the bedika is a bedika d'rabanan, meaning everyone agrees, the fact that you must do bedika and cannot rely on bittel is clearly midrabanan. That's the gemara of midaraisa bebittel ba'al masagi, and bedika schamit is d'rabanan. That's clearly the case. But the question is, what did the rabbanan say? According to Tosfos, the rabbanan said, well, since the d'rabanan of Bal Yeroeh has been satisfied, so this bedika schamit is mitchilas of ad selfo, totally d'rabanan. If that's the case, if you have a safik bad bedikas chametz, so what would the din be? Safik d'rabanan l'kula. And that's why Tosfos can't understand Rashi's pshat here on Daf Tes. However, according to Rashi, what Chazal said is no. Chazal said even though on a d'oraisa dika level, bittel does satisfy the requirements of Bal Yeroeh, mid'rabanan, we insist that you perform the bedikah which would have protected you, which would be sufficient to protect you from bal yevah, bal yimatzei. Now you have to do the da'oraisa dikei bedikah. If that's the case, then you always have to ask the question on a da'oraisa dikei level, without bittul, would I have been chayiv in bedikah? If the answer to that is yes, so then the answer midrabanan, even with bittul, is that you're going to be chayiv in bedikah. So therefore, even if you were mevatel, according to Rashi, safek bedikas chametz will be lechumra. The exact same machlokes Rashi and Tosfos you have on Daf Tes Amud Aleph as well. The Mishnah implies on Daf Tes Amud Aleph that if we were already bodek a house, and then we see a chulda bringing vaday chametz into the house, so we have no right to assume that the chulda certainly consumed the piece of bread which it carried into the house. We have no right to do that because ain't safek motzi miday vaday. It's vaday that the chulda brought chametz into the house. It's only a safek whether or not the chulda consumed the chametz. We have no right to assume that ain't safek motzi miday vaday. Even though the safek, Tosis explains, the safek we're dealing with here is not a safek hashokol, but it means that it's more of a rove. But nevertheless, the fact that it's vadai, it's certain that the chulda brought chametz into the house, and it's only a likelihood that the chulda consumed the chametz, so kahai gavna ein safek motzi midei vadai nechayiv in bedika. So the Gemara says, is it really true that we hold ein safek motzi midei vadai? And the Gemara asks from the case of a chavish shemeis v'hiniach megurim aleo peros, afilu hein b'nei yomon harei hein b'cheskes misukonin. A chaver who is known to be mafresh trumas and maisos immediately for many produce, so even if he dies, even if the produce in his house was just brought into the house that day, we assume that he was already mafresh trumas and maisos, and you don't have to be concerned with an iser tevel. So the Gemara says, isn't this an example of ein safek motzi midei vadai? The peros are vadai tevel. It's a safek. We can't be absolutely certain that the chaver was mafresh trumas and maisos. So isn't this an example of ein safek motzi midei vadai? So the Gemara gives two answers. The second one, which is the one which is relevant to us, is that the case of chaver, that it's not safek motzi midei vadai, it's only safek motzi midei safek. It could be that the chaver brought the peros into the house without the peros becoming tevel min ha-Torah. Why? Because it's entirely possible that he followed the strategy described by Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia says, "Marim adam al tvuaso machnisa b'mot shela kedei shetehei behemta ocheles uptura min ha-maise." Rav Oshia says there are three stages or three mechayvim necessary to trigger tevel d'oraisa. You have to have a certain degree of growth in the field, havar shlish in the case of tvua. You have to have meruach, which is the stage of gemar malach in the field. And finally, you have to have re'iyas p'nei habayis. Rav Oshia says, what happens if you invert the sequence here? What happens if you bring it into the house and you have the re'iyas p'nei habayis before the meruach? You haven't separated the kernel from the chaff and then smoothed it into an even pile, which is the stage of gemar malach, and you prematurely bring it into the house so that you have the re'iyas p'nei habayis before the meruach. So Rav Oshia says, when you do things out of sequence like that, so then you don't have tevel d'oraisa. You don't have tevel d'oraisa. So when you find fruit in the or tvua in the chaver's kitchen, so you don't know that it's vaday tevel. It's only safek tevel. It's only safek tevel. So we can rely on the safek that the chaver was mafresh, trumos, and maisos. So that's what the Gemara answers. That's why the case of chaver doesn't disprove the klal with which we're operating, that ain't safek motzi midei vadai. So Tosu said, wait a minute. Rav Oshia's case, where a person brings the food into the house before Gemar Malacha, only preempts Tevel D'Oraisa. However, in such a case, it would be Tevel D'Rabbanan. In such a case, from the time of Havar Shlish, There's already a din of Tevel Midrabanan. From the time the Tvua reaches Shlish of its normal Gidol out in the field, so there's already an Issa Achilas Keva Min HaTorah. So in terms of Issa Tevel Durabanan, we are relying on Savig Motzi Midei Vadai. When this Chaver dies and we find produce in his house, so what's the calculation here? The calculation is that midrabanan it's vaday tevel. Midrabanan it certainly was also bachilas keva because that issa was chal when it reached the stage of havar shlish. Now we rely on the suffix that the chaver was mafish trumas and maisos, and that's motzi midei vaday tevel durabanan. So apparently in Durabonans we do say Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. So if that's the case, Hadra Kushila Duchta, because our mission is dealing with Bedikas Chametz. What did our Mishnah say? That if I was Bodek my house, and then a Chulda ran into the house with a piece of Chametz, ain't Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. We can't assume that the Chulda consumed the piece of Chametz. Ain't suffering motzi midei vadai, and I'm chayiv in bedika, but bedikas chametz is only durabanan. And don't you see from the case of the chaver that when it comes to rabbanans, we say suffering motzi midei vadai. When the chaver dies, you have something which is vadai tevel durabanan. And nevertheless, we say that the suffering that the chaver was mafish tumas and maestros is motzi midei vadai. So apparently in Durabonon you do say Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. If that's the case, Hadra Kusha L'Duchta, for purposes of Bedikas Chametz, which is only Durabonon, why don't you say Safik Motzi Midei Vadai there as well? So Tosfos answers with the same Ukimta as they say in Daftas Amid Beis. You have to say that the mission is dealing with a case where you weren't Mevatel. And Tosfos implies that Ein Hachanami, if you had been Mevatel, so then, for purposes of Bedikas Chametz, you could rely on Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. Because in Durabonans, you rely on Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. Rashi makes no such ukimta. From Rashi, it would appear that the Mishnah is talking, that the Mishnah will be true, and the din of the Mishnah will be true, even if a person had been Mevatel. Aye, but didn't Tosfos prove from the Sugya that when it comes to Durabonans, Safek Motzi Midei Vadai? So the answer is the exact same thing which we said on Tesam and Beis. And that is, according to Rashi, when we say that Bedikas Chametz Ishlo Yavo Lava Vayero Vayi Motze, it means that Chazal will mechayev us in the Bedika Doraisa. Chazal said, for purposes of Bedika, pretend that you weren't Mevatel, because the Takana of Bedikas Chametz is that you have to do a Bedika which independently, which is self-sufficient, to be Moneya, the Issa Balyero Balyimotzeh. If that's the case, the same way for purposes of Bedikas Chametz, we'll say Safek L'chumra, because we have to evaluate it on a Da'oraisa level, because the Chi of Durabonin is in the Da'oraisa Dikir Bedika, we'll say the same thing as far as Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. If Min HaTorah ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, so then for purposes of Bedikas Chametz also ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, because Chazal will mechayev us in the Da'oraisa of Bedika. The Da'oraisa of Bedika, on a Da'oraisa, when it comes to Da'oraisa, you say ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. So then when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, you'll say ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. Because that's what Rashi on that base was telling us when he said that the Bedika is Kedei Shelo Yavo Olam V'Vayu Arba'i Motzei, he meant that Chazal insisted that for purposes of Bedikas Chametz, you have to make a Bedika which is self-sufficient. So in other words, you're always going to have to assess the Chi of Bedika on a Doraisa Dika level, because they impose the Bedika Min HaTorah. L'chora, according to Rashi, this is how we should understand the Shakla V'Tarya, which the Gemara has in two places, both in Dav Dalet Amid Beis, as well as Tes Amid Beis, going over to Yud Amid Aleph. The Gemara has as follows. The Gemara says, if you have someone, it's a Hakotan, who is not Neman, when it comes to Erecha, Neman B'Yisurin B'Doraisa. So is he Neman L'Gabi B'Dikas Chametz? So the Gemara says, you would have thought that he's not Neman, Ma'u D'Seima, Lo Lehim Ninhu Rabbanan. And therefore, if we know that a house is not Boduk, we cannot rely on the Aegis of a Hakotan, who will come and tell us, yes, but within the past half hour, I was Bodek. Or someone else was Bodek. Ma'u de same alola him ninu rabbanon. Kamash Malan Kevin the Bidikas Khamits Midwaban who to me do Isa Bibito Balmasaki lay Hem Nu Rabban Bidraban. I think my answer is no. We do believe the Katan. Even though the Katan has no name on us min HaTorah, but Bidikas Khamit is only Midrabanan. So Hem Nu Rabban Bidrabanan. Chazal gave him name on us for the Rabbanan. What exactly was the Shakl of Atalia here? The Gemara clearly knows all along that Bidikas Chametz is only Midrabanan. The fact that Bittul alone is sufficient, the Mishnah says in Mefurish, later in the third parak, the Mishnah says that Mevatlu Beliba, that even if a person knows he has Chametz, but he's on his way to Lishchot this Pischol, Lomul Es Beno, V'Lechol Sudas Erusin Beveis Chametz, V'Niska Sheyesh Lo Chametz B'Sov Beiso, Im Yochol Lachzul Levaye, V'Lachzul Mitzvaso, Yachzul V'Yivaye, V'Imlav Mevatlu Beliba. So the Mishnah says in Daf Mem Tes Mefurish that Bittul alone is enough. The Gemara didn't discover that. So the Gemara knew all along that Bidikas Chametz was Midrabanan. So why did the Gemara in its Havamina think that a cotton shouldn't be Ne'eman? What was the big discovery that Hemnu Rabbanan Bidrabanan? So the Teretz is, according to what we're explaining in Rashi, it's a tremendous chiddush. The Emes, the Havamina here is more intelligible than, more easily and readily understandable than the Gemara's maskana. The Gemara said like this, Ey Machanami, we know that Bidikas Chametz is only Midrabanan. However, what is the Chi of the Rabbanan of Bidikas Chametz? To do a Bidika which would satisfy the Torah, right? To do a Bidika which would satisfy the Torah. Now, Midoraisa, if a katan would come and say about this house, which is Becheskas Eino Bodok, a katan would come and say, No, Bodakti, I was bodek this house. Could you rely on the katan? Of course not. Because the katan has no nemonus minatorah. So I would have thought again, since the whole chi of bedika, albeit derabbanan. But what is that chi of derabbanan? To do a bedika which would have satisfied the Torah. So I would have thought the same way when it comes to safek. What do we say by bedikas chametz? Safek bedikas chametz l'chumra. When it comes to Safik Motzi Midei Vadei, so the halacha is like this, in Doraisas and Safik Motzi Midei Vadei, in Derabanan Safik is Motzi Midei Vadei. What do we say for Bidikas Chametz? We say ain't Safik Motzi Midei Vadei. We always follow the model Midoraisa, because that was the takana Bidikas Chametz, to do the Doraisa Deke Bidika. So that's what the Gemara says very well. Ma with the same Lolem Ninu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, even though Bidikas Chametz is only Midrabanan, but Chazal shouldn't have been able to accept the word of the Katan here, Lagabe Bidikas Chametz. Kamash Malan, for whatever reason, which we're not going to go into now, but Kamash Malan, that Hemnu Rabbanan, Bidrabanan. In a similar sugi you have on the same Shakl Vitalia, on the Avtesa Medvez, the Avtesa Medalev. So in sum, the Machlokis Rashi and Tosfos then is that according to Tosfos, the Bidika is not, which Chazal required, is not that Bidika which the Torah would have required in absence of Bittul. Because we're not playing games. Lemaisa, the guy is Mevatel. The Bidika is totally Durabanan, Mitrilasa Vat Sofa. And therefore we treat it as a pure Durabanan. Safek Bidika Schametz is Lakula. Safek is Motzi Midei Vadai. We treat it as a Durabanan. According to Rashi, the Durabanan of Bidikas Chametz is to do the Torah's Bidika, to satisfy the Isser Ba'yira Ba'yimotze based on Bidika alone. So therefore, even though the fact that you must opt for Bidika as opposed to Bittul is only a Durabanan, but we always evaluate and assess your Chiyuv min HaTorah. And therefore, Safek Bidikas Chametz L'chumra, and Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai by Bidikas Chametz, the same way we would say in the Oraisas. L'chora, there's one Gemara which simply contradicts Rashi's approach and confirms what Tosfos says. The Gemara says in Dav Yudam and Beis, Boi Rava, Kika Bishmei Kora, Tzarech Sulam Lahorida O Ein Tzarech. Let's say you look up and you see that on top of the cover of the light fixture, so you see a piece of chametz. You see a piece of chametz. So do Chazal require us to go get a ladder and take the chametz down, or no? Maybe since that chametz, there's no chashash of shema yovel la'achlo. There's no chashash of shema yovel la'achlo with chametz out there, so Chazal would let us be mevatel that chametz. Or no, maybe Chazal are afraid that the chametz might fall down over Pesach, and therefore Chazal would require us to be bodek and mevayer that chametz as well. Boy Rava, kikur b'shmei korah, tzorach sulam lahavido ein tzorach. Mia mina and kule hai loat rechuhu rabbonon, kevin de lo nachas minafshe lo osi lamechla. The chametz is not going to fall down by itself, so therefore there's no chashash of shema yova lo ochlo. El dilma zimnin de nafal lo osi lamechla. Or no, you can never know what's going to happen. It's possible that it might fall down. It's possible that somehow or other it may slip and get dislodged. And then there would be a chashash of shema yova lo ochlo. So maybe the chi of Bedika and Bi or Durabonon extends to that kiko of Ishmei Korah as well. Now, Emes Tosis quotes this Gemara in asking against Rashi on Dav Beis. Why is this such a devastating cash against Rashi? For the simple, it's not, again, superficially it seems like Tosis is just asking because the Gemara says the Lashon of Shema Yovel Ochlo, that it's clear from the Gemara that Bedika's Chametz is motivated by a chashash of shema yovel la'ochlo. But that much Rashi could very easily agree with. Rashi says, ein nachanami, the reason for bedikas chametz is shema yovel la'ochlo, but nevertheless, the chi of bedika, which Chazal imposed, is that d'oraisa d'ikei bedika. So if that's all Tosus had in mind, I mean, zeh klal ninkov b'yodeinu, if you don't have to work hard to be miyasha the kasha of Tosfos, so then obviously we didn't understand the kasha correctly in the first place. It's too easily answered. Okay, so you see from the Gemara there that the reason is shema yovel la'ochlo. But that's neither here nor there. The reason is shema yovel la'ochlo. What did Chazal say? Because of this chashash shema yovel la'ochlo, did they impose the da'oraisa dik and bedika or not? What Tosfos really means with the kasha from that Gemara is as follows. If Chazal really imposed a bedikas chametz, which would be self-sufficient to protect us from bal yiro, bal yimotzei, so how can there be any baya? Unless you get rid of all chametz, you're not safe from bal yiro, bal yimotzei. If bedikas chametz is shema yavol la'achlo, if bedikas chametz is shelo yavol av bal yiro, bal yimotzei, then it's an all or nothing proposition. If I knowingly have a piece of chametz in my house, so min haTorah, would that bedika adequate? Would that bedika have been adequate without bittul? Of course not. The bedika has to be complete. You have to be mevayer al chametz. So Tosfos says, if the bedika's chametz, which Chazal imposed, is a bedika derabbanan, so then what? So then you can say, this piece of chametz, there is a chi of bedika, and this piece of chametz, there is no chi of bedika. But if the chi of bedika, which Chazal imposed, is the bedika d'oraisa. What did Chazal say you have to do? What's the reason? The reason is shema yovel la'achlo. But forget the reason. What did Chazal say as a result of this reason? That you have to do a bedika which will ensure what? Shaliyavel avayur avayur matzai. So what's that to discuss? Kiko b'shmei korah. Min haTorah, are you chayav b'al yiroah for kiko b'shmei korah? Absolutely, you chayav b'al yiroah for kiko b'shmei korah. If that's the case, and the bedika d'rabbanon in which we're chayav is shelo yavol av v'ayu av v'ayu matzeh, so then it should be self-evident that you should be chayav mid'rabbanon to go get the sulam and bring the piece of chametz down. That's what Tosfos asked on Rashi. And l'chore, it's a devastating, devastating kasha. To answer this kasha on Rashi, we have to understand a little bit about the Issa Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. Tosfos says in a couple of places here in Psochim that Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze is a lavanita klase. That you wouldn't get malchus for Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze, even if you violated Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze in such a fashion that it was a lav shiyesh bo maisa. You were kona chametz on Pesach, or you baked the cake on Pesach. You baked the chametz cake on Pesach. Tosfos says, nevertheless, you wouldn't get malchus because it's a lav anita klaset. because the love of Bal Yevoeh is nitak to the assay of Tashbisu. Tosfos says it on Tzadi Hey as well as Chav Tesam and Beis. Can mashma kemosha pirish ri b'chol sha'a the lo yevoeh having nitak l'assay. That's what Tosfos says. In Kayadua, the Rambam disagrees. Okay, but I'll call upon him. According to Tosfos, Bal Yevoeh, Bal Yematzeh is a lava nitak l'assay. And again, the Bala Tosfos who tells us this is the ri. Question is as follows. The ri himself says in Tosfos in Ksubis, how do we know when a lav and an assay are related and constitute a package deal of lav and nitak l'assay? And how do we know that, I don't know, maybe they just sort of overlap. How do we know when it's a lav and nitak l'assay, when it's not a lav and nitak l'assay? So the Ri says that there are two ways in which the Torah indicates to us that a lav is nitak l'assay. One is if the assay is written immediately after the lav. Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, v'hanosu mimenu ad boker, bo'esh tisrofu. The Torah says the assay immediately after the lav. So that's to tell us that this assay functions as the assay of lav anitak l'assay. The other case is when misvara, we realize that the assay, even though the heshiv is not written right after lo sigzo. So how do we know that it's a lav anitak l'assay? So Tosfos says in this case, we know that it's a lav anitak l'assay misvara. That since the assay of a heshiv has the effect of doing what? Of being okay the lav was lo sigzol, the lav was depriving the person of his money, of his assets. So the heshiv is exela shigazal is okay that. It reverses the lav. Now, in the case of Tashbisu and Bayera Bayimotzeh, so the pasuk of Tashbisu is not B'neshima Achas, is not immediately after Bayera Bayimotzeh, the way the assay of Sreifas Nosar immediately follows the love of Nosar. So apparently, Bayera Bayimotzeh is Nitak La'assay Misvara. Apparently, Misvara, we recognize that the assay of Tashbisu is Oker, the lav of Bal Yevoeh. However, when you think about it, l'chore, it doesn't tally. For the following reason. Again, take the mashal of Nosar. Tosfos says that Nosar would not have been understood as a lav anitak l'assay were it not for the fact that the assay of v'hanosar mimenu ad boker follows immediately on the heels of the lav of l'sosiru. Why not? The lav was not to leave it over, and now I'm destroying it. So the answer is that by destroying it, you're just sort of preventing the extension of the lav. You're not being okay the lav. The lav was that there shouldn't be any, that the b'sar kochim shouldn't be allowed to be no-so until morning. When you burn it a half hour later, you haven't been okay that. You've just prevented an extension. A continuation of the lav. You haven't been okay that. Misvara, we wouldn't have classified this as a lav anitak l'assay. However, since the Torah writes the assay immediately after the lav, so that's to tell us you should construe it as a lav anitak l'assay. Now similarly, by Bal Yevoeh Bal Yematzeh, l'chore the issur is what? Is to have chametz on Pesach. So if I have chametz and Pesach, and then all of a sudden I wake up first day of Chol HaMoed and I clap al chet, and then I go ahead and I destroy the chametz, I'm not being okay the lav. I'm not being okay the lav misvara any more than I'm being okay the lav of nosar when I burn the nosar. I'm just preventing the continuation, the extension of the lav. I'm not really being okay the lav. So why do we construe Bal Yevoeh Bal Yematzeh as a lav hanitak l'assay? So l'chore the Teretz is as follows. The Gaonim, the Rishonim, all quote the following Mechilta. The Mechilta says in Parshas Bo, Shiva yamim se'ur lo yimatzeh b'vateichem. B'vateichem lo menemar. B'fisha nemar b'chol gevulcha. Shomea ani kemashmao Talmud Lama Bibatechem, Ma Beischa Bishuscha, Yotza Chemso Shal Yisrael, Shehu Bishus Eno Yisrael, Apple Pishu Yachel Avaro, Aval Eno Bishuso, Yotza Chemso She Eno Yisrael, Shehu Bishuso, Vechomet Shenofla Olam Mapolis, Apple Pishu Bishuso, Aval Eno Yachel Avaro. The Mechilta says as follows. The Mishnah says if you have chametz shenaf l'olav mapoles, there's no chiyuv of biwa. You don't have to unearth the chametz which has been buried underneath the collapsed building. You don't have to unearth it. And that's min ha-Torah. Min ha-Torah, you can just leave the chametz there. Mechilta says, how do you know this? Mechilta says it's exeris ha-kosuv of bibotechem. Bibotechem means that the chametz, number one, has to be birshusi, and number two, it has to be that yochol leva'aro. Chametz shenafla of mapolis is inaccessible, it's eino yochol leva'aro, so therefore that's not subject to the isser of bal yeroh bal yimotzei. That's what the mechilta says. Now this mechilta is very, very difficult to understand. Why should the isser of bal yeroh bal yimotzei be contingent upon the possibility of my having access to the chametz, easy, unfettered access to the chametz to be mevayer it? L'chora, the issa b'ayor b'ayimotzei is that I shouldn't own chametz on Pesach. So let's say I own a restaurant, and then the restaurant collapses, and then I have all my spaghetti underneath the mapolis. So it's true that it would take a construction crew 2 days to unearth the spaghetti, and another day to find the ketchup. So it's true that it's eino, that it's eino yochel levaro, that he can't easily be mevayer the chametz, but of what relevance is that? Isser bal yeroah should hinge upon whether or not I can get rid of the chametz from my rishus. Chametz shenafla of mapoles, you can't have an isser which a person can't avoid. That's correct. The Torah isn't going to impose an isser which places us on a collision course that there's no way that a person can avoid the issa. However, the issa b'ayir b'ayimotzei is that I shouldn't have chametz in Pesach. If I have chametz and I've loved my polis, all I have to do is be mevatel the chametz, whether bittel is hefka, whatever bittel is, all I have to do is be mevatel the chametz, and then this chametz and I've loved my polis, I won't be over b'ayir b'ayimotzei. Why should the applicability of bal yeroah bal yimotzei hinge on yochol levaro? The applicability of bal yeroah bal yimotzei should hinge on, does it still belong to me? And is there any way for me to avoid the issur bal yeroah bal yimotzei if the chametz still belongs to me? And I can easily avoid bal yeroah bal yimotzei, so then it should be subject to bal yeroah bal yimotzei. So chametz shenaf lav mapolis, it still belongs to me. It still belongs to me, and I can easily be mevatel it. So there should have been an issur bal yeroah bal yimotzei. Why did the mechilta say that chametz shel naflav mapolis, since it's even though it's b'rishusa, but it's eino yochel levaro, that there's no issur bal yeroah? So what you see from the mechilta is as follows: that the issur of bal yeroah bal yimotzei is not an issur of owning chametz on Pesach. That's not the issur bal yeroah bal yimotzei. Rather, the issur bal yeroah bal yimotzei is the reason I am over bal yeroah bal yimotzei. If I maintain my ownership over chametz and Pesach, is because chametz shel Yisrael, chemtzo shel Yisrael, but Pesach is toun biur. There's a chalos in the chemtzo shel chametz, the chametz for Pesach is toun biur. And if a person, instead of being mevayer that chametz, holds on to it, he keeps it, so then he's over bal yeroah bal yimotzei. But it's not simply that it's an issa gadva of owning chametz b'Pesach. No, that's not the case. Rather, the din is that the chametz is to'un biwa. Chametz b'Pesach is supposed to be destroyed, and if I hold on to the chametz instead of destroying it, so then I'm liable for bal yeroah bal yimotzei. Okay? So that's a crucial distinction. It's not the fact that I own chametz on Pesach per se, rather the fact that my chametz on Pesach is toun biur. And if I ignore that, and instead I maintain my ownership, that constitutes Balyeva Balyimotzei. If the yesod of Isser Balyeva Balyimotzei is this chalos in the Chepzo Shel Chametz, that it's Toh and Biur, so then the Mechilta makes perfect sense. Then the Mechilta says it's true that I could circumvent the Yisr Balyeroa by being Mafkir that's Chametz. It's true that I could avoid Balyeroa by being Mevatel the Chametz, but since if the Yisod of Yisr Balyeroa is that the Chametz is Toh and Biur, you can't have an Yisr Balyeroa Balyimotzei unless it's Ato Yochol Levaro. If ain't Ato Yochol Levaro, if ain't ato yochol levaro, you can't have an isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei. That's the yesod which emerges from this mechilta. And be'emes, that's clearly how Tosfos understood the isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei as well. We asked, according to Tosfos, why is it nitak la'asei if the asei is not samuch to the lav? It's not similar to gezela. L'chor, it's similar to nosa. Nosa is only a lav anitak la'asei because of the proximity of the asei to the lav. And that's not the case. But l'chor, according to this mechilta, so then the isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei is what? The isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei is the fact that chametz, which was to'un biur in Pesach, was not nivah min ha'olam, but rather I held on to it. That's what constitutes the isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei. So now if I will be mevayer it, so then that's taka being oker the lav. If the isur simply was the existence, the fact that I owned chametz, so then there's no way to be oker that. You can't be oker that any more than you can be oker nosa. Nosa was that you shouldn't let the b'sar kodshim see the light of morning. You let it see the light of morning. Once you pass that boundary, you can't be oker that. Gezela, you can be oker by returning it to the bialim. Nosa, you can't be oker because once you cross that line and it sees the light of morning, so the lav is finished. All you can do is not let the lav continue. You can prevent perpetuating the lav. You can't be oker it. If, however, the lav of Balyeroa is not like the lav of Nosa, it's not simply having chametz and Pesach, but rather that chametz, which is ton biur, not being mevayer it, so then when you're mevayer it, so then that's considered an akiras halav. So what do we see from this mechilta? What do we see from Tosfos that the isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei is not simply an isur gavra of having chametz and Pesach, but is rather an isur chepza. The chametz shel Yisrael is to'un biur, and therefore, if I'm not mevayer that chametz, but instead I hold on to it, that's why I'm being over. I'm being over for having chametz which is to'un biur, and not being mevayer the chametz. Now, if we come back to our kasha, which we had back here in Dav Beis, Rashi says the bedikas chametz is shelo yavol av b'yeroa b'yimotzei, and we saw based on the Gemara in Tesamet Aleph, Tesamet Beis, what that means is that the bedika has to be a bedika which would be mafkia the isur b'yeroa b'yimotzei. According to Tosfos, the bedika doesn't have to do anything for b'yeroa b'yimotzei. It just has to ensure shelo yavol ochlo. Tosfos says, isn't our pshat confirmed by the Gemara in Dav Yud? The Gemara in Dav Yud is willing to say that some chametz is not included in the Durabanan of Bedika. If it's not included in the Durabanan of Bedika, so that means that your Bedika wouldn't suffice for Isur B'yeroa min HaTorah, because Isur B'yeroa is an all or nothing, right? It's an all or nothing. The Isur is that I shouldn't own chametz. So Rashi holds as follows. Rashi agrees with this whole mahalach based on the mechilta. Rashi says that the yesod of isur b'yeroa is the fact that the chetzo shel chametz is to'un biur. If that's the case, so then Rashi holds that we can distinguish that every piece of chametz is a separate isur b'yeroa. Meaning, if b'yeroa is simply an isur gavra, so then Tosfos says correctly, and you can't dispute what Tosfos says, if Balyeroa is an Issa Gavra, so what sense does it make to have a Bedika which gets rid of 85% of the chametz. That bedikah hasn't satisfied anything about Balyera or Balyimotze. You can't say that that bedikah was a bedikah shelo yavol of Balyera or Balyimotze. If, however, and therefore Tosfos says, since the Gemara and Dav Yud is willing to allow us possibly to leave the Kikur b'Shmei Korah, it must be the bedikah's chametz has got nothing to do with Balyera or Balyimotze. It's not the Torah's bedikah. According to, if you say, however, that Issa Bayero Bayimotze is not an Issa Gavra, but rather the, essentially, the root of the Issa is an Issa Chepza. The Chametz and Pesach is torn biur. So what does that mean? It means that this bagel is torn biur. It means that that box of Oreo cookies is torn biur. And that that donut is torn biur. Then the Chiyuv Bedikas Chametz can be individualized to each chepzah shel chametz. And then Chazal could say that vis-a-vis that chametz, where there's a chashash of shema yovo la'achlo, so then you are chayav to do a bedika shelo yavo la bayira bayimotze. Once the issa bayira bayimotze is not simply an issa gavra, so then it's not an all or nothing proposition. The bedika doesn't become meaningless if you don't dispose of all chametz. I'm leaving the kikur b'shmei korah. What's the chiyuv bedika if I have food in my cupboard on Pesach? The chiyuv bedika is that that chametz is torn biur. I can be mevayer it. Every piece of chametz is torn biur. Min haTorah you can be mevayer it either through bittul or through bedika biur. Now, Chazal said, any piece of chametz, whether it's a chashash of shem yavo la'achlo, you have to be mevayer it through bedika and biur. Once the isser b'yevar b'yimotzei is an isser chepza, so then already Chazal could distinguish between one piece of chametz and another piece of chametz. If it were an isser gavra, so then what's the definition of b'yevar b'yimotzei? You shouldn't own any chametz on Pesach. So then it's ridiculous to say that the bedika shelo yavolav b'yevar b'yimotzei, but you can keep one piece of chametz. No, so then the bedika didn't accomplish anything, shaliyavo, because you measure the bedika in terms of the gavra. In terms of the gavra, he still has chametz. But if isser b'yira b'yimotze is an isser chepza, again, as the Mechilta says, that you only have b'yira b'yimotze, where it's ato yochol levaro. So then you measure the bedika in terms of the chepza shel chametz, and therefore you can speak of a chiyuv bedika which is limited to that chametz which poses a chashash of shem yovel achlo. Vis-a-vis that chametz which is torn biur min haTorah, Chazal said, how should you be mevayer? You should be mevayer not through bittul exclusively, but also through bedika and biur. So l'chor, that's how we have to say pshat in the Rashi and Tosfos. The machlokes, just to sum up the halacha, the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in bedika, according to Rashi, Chazal were mechayev us in the bedika shel Torah. Therefore, safek l'chumra. Therefore, ain't safek motzi midei vaday. The way we would say by Doraisis. According to Tosfos, Chazal were mechayev us in a bedika derabanan. Bal yeroi is satisfied by bittul. Forget about bal yeroi. The bedika is kulo derabanan. Therefore, safek l'kulo. Therefore, safek motzi midei vaday when it comes to bedikas chametz. This, in turn, hinges whether or not Rashi's pshat is plausible in light of the Gemara Dav Yud Amud Beis, in turn hinges on a fundamental machlokes in the doraisa of Bal Yeroi Bal Yimotzei. For Tosfos, the doraisa of Bal Yeroi Bal Yimotzei is an issa gavra. And therefore, to speak of a bedikas chametz midrabon and shlo yavol of a bayir abayimotzei, it would have to be all chametz which is in the possession of this gavra, and there couldn't be a hava amina to exclude a kikur b'shmei korah. According to Rashi, the issur bayir abayimotzei, the doraisa deki issur is an issur chepza, that every piece of chametz has a chalos that it's torn biur and pesach. Independently, as it were, every piece of chametz, bifnei atzmo, independently has a chalos that it's torn biur, And therefore, you can compartmentalize. And you can speak of Ibidika Shalo Yavala Valuabai Matse vis-a-vis this Chatzah Shel Chametz, but not vis-a-vis that Chatzah Shel Chametz. Let's perhaps just take a few moments to reflect on the significance of these halachas al pi agada. In HaTorah, we have two options. There's an option of bedika and biur. Alternately, there's an option of bittul. We can either search and destroy chametz, or we can nullify the chametz. Midirabbanan, Chazal insisted that habodek tzarich shiyevatel, that we must use the two in tandem, both the combination of bedika and biur, searching and destroying, as well as bittul, as well as nullifying. Why is that? There is a very famous Gemara in Brachos with which you're all undoubtedly familiar. Rabbi Alexandri Bosa de Matz Leom Ahochi. Ribon Ha'olamim, Goli V'yodua Lefanecha, Sheritzoneinu Lassus V'tzonecha. Umi Ma'akev, Su'or Shebe Issa, V'shibon Malchias. Rabbi Alexandri, after praying the Shemoneh Esrei, said thus, Master of the world, it is revealed and known before you that our will is to perform your will. And who prevents us? The yeast in the dough and subjugation to foreign regimes. Yehi ratzon lufanecha shetatzilenu miyodom v'noshav lasos kukei ritzonecha b'lev avshalem. May it be your will that you save us from their hands and that we return to perform the statutes of your will with a complete heart. The Gemara identifies two primary obstacles to our Avodas Hashem. The first is Se'or Shebe'isa, which Rashi explains refers to the Yetzer Hara Shel Bilvaveinu, the Yetzer Hara within us. And the second is Shibud Malchias. We need to amplify both of these terms and concepts. Moreover, Rabbi Alexandri concludes with a bakasha that noshuv lasos chukei ritzonecha, that we should comply with, we should fulfill the chukim of your will. The Torah refers consistently to mitzvahs Hashem as being comprised of mishpatim and chukim. Why does Rabbi Alexandri single out chukim? Lasos chukei ritzonecha. Let's focus initially on Shibud Malchios. The term Shibud Malchios should be understood broadly, referring not only to political and physical subjugation, but also cultural and philosophical subjugation to foreign regimes. Zos Chukas HaTorah, Rashi quotes, L'fisha HaSaton V'umos HaOlam Monin Es Yisrael Loma Ma mitzvah hazos, u'ma tam yesh ba. The nations of the world moanin es Yisrael. They're not preventing Yisrael in this instance by some kind of governmental decree which is backed up by a threat of death or imprisonment, but rather the instrument here of the Shibud Malchios is the philosophical attack on the integrity or rationality of Torah. Similarly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which states that b'shas gzeres hamalchus, afilu mitzvah kala yehoreg val yavor, that at a time of governmental decree, even for a minor custom, a person has to surrender his life rather than violate it. According to the Rav, zichron levracha, the Gzeres HaMalchus refers not only to legislation of a politically and religiously oppressive pagan regime, but also, this is a quote, to situations in which a small number of God-fearing and Torah-loyal people is confronted with a hostile attitude on the part of the majority dominated by a false philosophy, close quotes. This too is an instance of Gzeres HaMalchus according to the Rav. And thus, Shibud Malchios in Rabbi Alexandri's tefillah should be similarly understood. We're prevented from fulfilling and complying with Ritzon Hashem not merely by anti-religious legislation or physical subjugation, but by cultural trends and intellectual climates which are antithetical to Torah. In fact, our experience as American Jews, and for that matter, the experience of most Jewish communities today, doesn't involve any Shibud Malchios in its literal political sense. We don't really experience that kind of Shibud Malchios. Most of us in this room certainly don't remember any such Shibud Malchios. We only know it from history. But we are severely challenged by Shibud Malchios in its cultural and philosophical sense. We're constantly beset by a plethora of isms which seek to prevent us from asiyas chukei ritzonecha. The cultural, philosophical element of Shibud Malchios is also a type of se'or, or yetzahara. The yetzahara is not only internal within us, but also external. The external yetzahara is embodied in false philosophies, which are antithetical to Torah. And this is one major obstacle or impediment to our Avodas Hashem. There is, however, a second major obstacle as well, the Se'or Sheve'isa, the internal Yetzirah. The sign of Chametz, the Mishnah tells us in Psochim, the effect of yeast in the dough is when the dough swells, and as a result you begin to see the sidur, the cracking of the dough, because it swells. And similarly, the internal Yetzirah consists and is identified by gaiva, haughtiness and hubris, which cause our egos to swell. The consequences of this internal process of chimutz, the internal se'or sheve'isa, are that we question the Torah, dinei ha-Torah, chachmei ha-Torah, minhagei Yisrael, when they don't correspond to our moral religious constructs. The result of se'or sheve'isa, of internal chametz, is that we're unwilling to subordinate our moral religious judgments to those of Chazal and Chachmei HaMasorah. To a degree, our motives may be sincere and our intentions noble. We may, to a degree, sincerely speak of spiritual quest and religious longing, and yet, mi ma'akev se'or sheve'isa, the internal yetzahara, it has caused us to swell and made us unwilling to abide by chukei ritzonecha, those mitzvos, or even minhagim, which appear to defy reason, which appear to contradict our moral religious intuition, which seem to us even to be discriminatory. Bedikah and Biur on the one hand, and Bittul on the other hand, represent two different approaches to Hashpasa Se'or, to the destruction of Chametz. Midoraisa, the combination of bedikah and biur suffices. A bedikah and biur does not need min haTorah to be complemented by bittul. Bedikah and biur focus on the external chametz, the shibud malchios as represented by philosophical schools and cultural trends which are antithetical to Torah. Bedikah is conducted l'or haner, Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or, the light of Torah illumines and identifies the components of modern culture which are unacceptable to a Yirei Shemayim. Bedikah culminates in biur. We reject these false isms and comply with the dictates of Torah, pure and unsullied, authentic and unadulterated. Bedikah and biur facilitate such uncompromising allegiance And ideally, and that's what's reflected in the Din D'oraisa, the combination of Vedika and Biur really do suffice. However, in our imperfect world, Midravonon Habodek Tzar Shivata, it's not possible, it's simply impossible to scrutinize all cultural, philosophical trends and influences, all the while taking for granted that we're not affected or infected by an internal chametz. And thus, habodek tzar shivatel, we have to be mevatel chametz as well. Bittel, the Gemara tells us, is balev, mevatel lo beliva. Bittel is a process of introspection, not focusing on external philosophies, cultural, societal trends, but rather a process of introspection which seeks to ensure our own hispatlos, submission and subordination to Torah, its halachos, its minhagim, its chachmei hamasora. Habodik tzorch shiyavatel my time on the rova gzeira shem yimsa gluska yofa v'dayte ilave. Lest he find a nice role and his das will be attracted to it. In our imperfect world, where we have already been internally affected by chametz, bedika and biur are insufficient. Moreover, without an accompanying bittel, bedika and biur are doomed to failure. Shema yimsa gluska yofa, if we don't subordinate, if we don't consciously reinforce and introspect and ensure that we have subordinated our religious and moral judgments to those of the Torah, shema yimsa gluska yofa v'dayto ilave. Our independent, non-Torah das will be attracted to a gluska yafa. In reality, chametz, but Rashi says, when we see it, our reaction will be choso leho milavara. We won't recognize it as such. We won't identify the cultural influence as chametz. And instead of being mevayer, we will assimilate it. And thus, Chazal ordained that bedika and biur must be accompanied by bittel. Mevatlo beliba, we are mevatel ourselves to Torah, its halachos, its minhagim, and then we can successfully undertake bedika and biur to insulate ourselves from external chametz, to identify and reject it. The complementary processes of bedika and biur on the one hand, and bittel on the other hand, provide an apt simile for the Rav's approach to modernity, its challenges and crises, opportunities and responsibilities. The Rav neither summarily rejected nor indiscriminately accepted philosophical schools or cultural trends of modernity. My father, Areni Kaporos Mishkovo, described the Rav's approach as follows. He engaged modernity on his terms, not on its terms, but rather on his terms. The Torah doesn't advocate indiscriminate biur. Biur is preceded by bedika l'or haner, so that our biur is limited and discriminate, and doesn't destroy matzah together with chametz. The Rav's carefully formulated and finely honed positions on such complex modern issues as religious Zionism, interdenominational relations, and secular studies all reflected careful, painstaking bedika. The Rav's firm, unequivocal stand on the issues of his and our day, be it his adamant stand during the Mechitza controversy, when in effect the Rav said that maintaining a Mechitza was Yehoreg Val Yavor, But be it his firm, unequivocal opposition to women's tefillah groups and tampering with minhagim, these were all instances of a discriminate biur, following a discerning bedika. The Rav succeeded in bedika and biur because his bedika and biur were accompanied by a bitul balev. He was exceedingly humble, especially when engaging in Talmud Torah. He insisted that Talmud Torah means understanding Torah on its own terms, not in our categories, but rather according to Torah's indigenous categories. He vehemently rejected any disparagement of Chachmei HaMasora throughout the generations. His bitul balev was comprehensive and complete, and thus he successfully engaged in bedika and biur as well. He could discerningly be bodek and consequently discriminately be mevaer. It is our obligation not just to recall what the Rav did, but to also fulfill the complementary mandates of bedika and biur on the one hand and bitul on the other. We must approach the process of bedika and biur from a posture of bitul. Bitul, total bitul, to Torah, to Masorah, Chachmei HaMasorah, mitzvos and minhagim. Concrete illustrations are always more edifying and meaningful than vague generalities. So let's focus on a prime, perhaps primary example of our day, and that is, of course, women's issues. This complex network of questions and issues must be approached sensitively and discerningly. Surely there is need for bedika. The Torah does not advocate an indiscriminate biur. The Torah doesn't advocate indiscriminate rejection or automatic opposition. But such an honest and authentic Torah approach, bedika, is only possible and can only succeed if it emerges from a posture of bitul. Our goal must be to identify those aspirations and those initiatives which are consistent with the totality of our Masorah, including minhagim. We can't allow ourselves to be infected by the Se'or Sheba'isa and adopt the tactic of changing or abandoning minhagim. And certainly, we cannot merely begrudgingly comply with halachos while simultaneously disparaging Chazal and Chachmei HaMasorah. It's absolutely unacceptable to state that the bracha of Shelo Asani Isha, instituted and coined by Chazal, is insulting to women, and that accordingly men, in a gesture of empathy and sensitivity, should not recite the bracha aloud. Perhaps we can successfully interpret the bracha to our satisfaction, perhaps not. But either way, the mitzvah of bitul chametz, the posture of bitul, demands not only compliance, but respect and reverence for Masorah and Chachmei HaMasorah. Lefisha ha'soton ve'umos ha'olam monin es Yisrael, the same Rashi from Parshas Chukas, similar lashon in the Gemara in Yuma. Loma ma ha'mitzvah hazos u'ma ha'tam yesh ba, v'fichach kosov v'chuka, g'zeira imi l'fanai, ein l'cha rishus l'harer achareha. Note carefully the lashon of Chazal. Not ein l'cha rishus shelo l'kayem mitzvoseha, but ein l'cha rishus l'harer achareha. Not only is deviation from the chok prohibited, but also irreverence and disrespect. Even if you will comply, but simultaneously be maharher achareha, displaying, betraying, irreverence, or disparagement, the Torah doesn't allow that either. Not from Chukim, not for Chazal, not for Minhage Yisrael. And thus, as we undertake the crucial task of Bedika, it must be done from a posture of Bittul, rather than attacking, seeking to abandon Minhagim in the name of spiritual quest and religious aspirations. Instead, we must formulate those spiritual quests in accordance with Minhagei Yisrael. The Rav's various Piskei Halacha in this area are paradigmatic, both in terms of methodology as well as substance. It is a truism that the Rav was profoundly sensitive and very active in responding to the needs of modern women. His efforts on behalf of and support for women's Torah education are well known. And yet, it should be understood that this didn't reflect, Rahmana Litzlan, any kind of capitulation to any form of unisex egalitarianism. On the contrary, and here a historical perspective is very enlightening. The Rav advocated intensive Torah education for women long before the feminist movement emerged within orthodox or traditional circles. In fact, it would seem to me that the absence of feminism when the Rav first adopted this position and advocated such intensive chinuch in large measure helped advance the Rav's efforts. At that time, it reduced the chances of his being misunderstood. And presently, unfortunately, the advent of feminism and the attempt to co-opt the Rav's support for intensive chinuch for women as evidence of his support for an egalitarian orthodoxy, not only doesn't it advance those programs, but it serves to imperil those chinuch programs advocated by the Rav. The Rav, simultaneously while advocating and working for intensive chinuch in Torah for women,